and welcome to C3 Church, Bridgman Downs. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
What to expect when you're expecting. Okay, so yeah, you might be thinking back to the movie or maybe a book, but there's plenty of them. I actually haven't read that book. I've read other books, but we're stepping into this new season, okay, and it's new. It's something new. So what can we expect as a church now that we're expecting something new? Just as our expectations need to change and shift, you know, when a baby comes along, when something new is coming along, so too with us right now. What can we expect right now in this season, now that we're expecting this new season, this new season of spring? So here's three things. Are you ready? This is going to be like a Sunday night roast. Simple, tasty, might take a little bit of time to process after, but it's going to be good. Three things. These are just three things that I think as a church that we can expect. Okay. Now I feel like roast. See, let's go back to your mom's house. Have a roast. She's probably got one on. First thing, you ready for the first thing? First thing that you and I can expect in this new season is change. It comes along with change is stretch, because what has been is comfortable. What has been is easy because we've got that down pat. We've got that on lock. That's easy because that's what we've just been doing. But with change comes stretch. So the first thing we can do, and you know, first thing I had to learn about when we had a baby and when we were preparing to have this baby, when we were in the pregnancy time of it, is that there was going to be change and that we needed to change and stretch our expectations. And so Beck had me reading articles and books, and if she asks you, I read all of them. I can't see her here, so I read all of them, and that was awesome. But it changes everything. It literally changes everything. It's not worse. In a lot of ways, it's actually better, but mainly it's just different. It's just a different season, okay? So you can't, and in this season of having a child, we can't expect things to be as they always were, or else we might go a little bit crazy. So I couldn't expect to have 7.5 hours of sleep every night for a little while, okay? We're okay now. We're in a pattern, and it's good, but I couldn't expect that anymore. That had to just out the window. And we couldn't expect to do whatever we wanted whenever we wanted anymore. You're like, whoa, what? All the young adults are like, hang on a second. You can't. It just changes things. I couldn't expect to have peace and quiet in the house or in the car all the time anymore. It just wasn't a case. I couldn't expect to have just these amazing, you know, incredible God times in the morning all by myself. Now I have my son running down the hallway in his little walker thing, coming to me, wanting to join me in the morning, which is, it's different. It's actually better in a lot of ways. And we pray together, you know, normally in the mornings, which is, I do most of the praying, but it's great. We've had to change these expectations, because if we don't change our expectations, we're going to go a little crazy when the new happens. We're not going to be prepared for it. We're not going to be ready for it. It's going to be like, hang on. And if we don't have that change and that stretch going on, when it does happen, it's going to be too much too soon, and we'll break and crumble under the pressure. So are we prepared? Are we changing bit by bit? And God doesn't do things all of a sudden. There's a process. And so we're going through a process, but it's a process of change and of stretch. And it's not just, and this is for all of us as a church, as we're stepping into this new season, it's not just the pastors or the team leaders or group leaders, but all of us. God will take us on a journey of changing and stretching. So Isaiah 43:19 says, behold, I am doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? This is like a Bible verse at the start of last year that Pastor Andrew really had on his heart as a church, that God was doing a new things, new roads, new rivers, and it was awesome. But God's doing a new thing, and we've got to be ready. Do you perceive that it's happening? And I remember middle of last year, we were during worship one week, and it was just, I was like, God, just in worship, like, God, everything seems so crazy right now, like just to do with church and spiritually and prayer and all of that. Like, why is everything so crazy? And he said, this is what it feels like to be in the new. And I was like, oh, okay. So we brought this upon ourselves. Like, because we don't actually understand how uncomfortable new is. We think new is amazing. I think probably the only thing that this doesn't refer to is new car, right? New car smell. It's just amazing. But you get a pair of new shoes And they're a little bit uncomfortable. You got to break them in. They're a bit rigid. You know, like the worst thing you can do is buy a new pair of shoes like for a wedding the next day or that sort of thing, because then you're the whole day, you're like, oh, because we haven't stretched them in. We haven't taken time for that stretch, for that breaking in to happen yet. So when we suddenly go into the moment, we're not ready for it. Our shoes aren't ready for it. So we don't understand just how uncomfortable new can be. New can sound amazing, but there is a stretching and a change that needs to happen with new. Okay, so Isaiah 54, which is another verse I know that's on Pastor Andrew's heart at the moment for us as a church, is verse 1. It says, "Sing, O barren woman, you who have never bore a child, burst into song, shout for joy, you who have never been in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband, says the Lord." So it's saying this new, rejoice, because this new thing is coming. But verse 2, we're then met with these not so glorious words. "Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in the desolate cities." To make way for the new, we need to renew or stretch and change our expectation. In fact, if you read the Bible, any miracle, and maybe you've had this experience, but any miracle requires a stretch, a changing of expectation, a changing of our faith. It takes a stretch. Like, I'm here right now, but that's there. It takes this stretch on our side to make way for that new thing. And our heart and our capacity for new people needs to expand. And my question to all of us tonight is there room in your connect group? Is there room in your friendship group? Is there room in your world for new people? Are we able, is there room for us to walk beside someone as they're walking out the first steps of their faith? Do we have room to sit with someone, to take the time to sit with somebody, to take the time out to pray with somebody, to take the time out to disciple someone? Not just leave it up to a program, but for you and I to walk beside someone. Is there room, or are we closed off, exclusive, and stuck in our own world? We've got to change and stretch, make room. I tell you, if we will enlarge the place of our tent, if we will enlarge our love, if we will enlarge our capacity for other people, if we will enlarge our vision, if we will stretch our tent curtains wide, lengthen our cords, strengthen our stakes, God will fill the room of expectation that we build. God will fill the room of expectation that we build. And we'll spread out to the right and to the left, as that verse said. So the first thing, change, stretch. The second thing, which kind of this one leads into, that we can expect now that we're expecting this new season, is inconvenience. I'm so sorry. None of these are going to be like, woohoo, initially. But if we embrace them, they do turn into a woohoo. So the second thing that we can expect is inconvenience. And I think there is literally no better story in the Bible that we can take as an example than when Jesus tells us this story, this parable of the Good Samaritan. So I'll read it from verse 25, or paraphrase. So this lawyer stands up and says to Jesus, "Jesus, how must I inherit eternal life?" And Jesus says, "You know the law. What does it say?" And he says, "Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus says, "Spot on, mate. Do that." Don't think he said mate. What's the Hebrew word for mate? You've got to figure that out. He says, "Do that." And then the lawyer says, trying to justify himself, says, "But who is my neighbor?" And so Jesus then tells us this parable here. And he says, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a certain priest came down the road." Here we go. The priest has come. It's all good. "And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side." Okay. "Likewise, a Levite," all right, second chance, "when he arrived at the place, came and looked." So the guy stopped and looked, but passed by on the other side. Just Take pause moment right here. So Jericho, where these guys were going, was a priestly city in that time. Okay, so this priest and this Levite were on their way to minister. Okay, so it's like the pastor and the worship leader on their way to church. And they're going, don't have time. I've got to worship the Lord. I've got to do my thing. I've got to minister. I've got to do this. So Jesus here is depicting a people so bound by religious ritual and ceremony that they forget one whole half of God's command, which is to love people. Incredible. For some reason, I decided to look into the numbers and of all of this, because in the Bible there's a thing called numerology, and in the Bible certain numbers mean something, which is pretty cool. So I looked into it, and the road that went from Jerusalem to Jericho was actually 18 miles. Okay, so the road that people would take would be 18 miles, which is crazy because 18 in the Bible is the number of bondage. So these religious folk, which Jesus is using to portray a people so bound by religion and by ceremony that they missed this opportunity to love somebody. 18 is the number of bondage. But here comes this Samaritan who we'll read about in a moment, and he goes the figurative extra mile. So he goes 19 miles, and 19 is representative of God's perfect order. Wow. It's 10, which symbolizes completion, and it's 9, which symbolizes the finality of faith or divine completeness. So this lawyer is asking, you know, how do I do it? And Jesus says, love the Lord your God, but also love people. And if we only get so bound by just going to church, doing my thing and this and this and this, we find ourselves so bound by ritual and ceremony that we're actually missing one whole side of what Jesus commanded us to do. But if we all go the figurative extra mile, if we'll go all the literal extra mile for people in our world, that's actually divine completeness of faith that God has for you and I, which is pretty crazy. Little thing for you there. So we read on, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where this man was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. It's incredible. This Samaritan, and this, it's, accepted that this guy that would have fell among thieves was a Jewish man, and the Jews and the Samaritans were not friends, not at all. So for this Samaritan to do this would have been like, wow. And so this man, this Samaritan went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal. He brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day, so he didn't just leave it there, but on the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave it to the innkeeper and said, take care of him. Whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So Jesus then asks this lawyer, which one of these 3 do you think was neighbor to him who fell among thieves? And the lawyer said, he who showed mercy on him. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. This parable shows to you and I that love is often inconvenient. Going the extra mile is often inconvenient. The new is inconvenient because the old way, as I said, we've got it down packed. It's on, it's routine. We've got that on replay. That's easy. But let's not, as the church, let's not let ritual and routine blind us from the opportunities to love our neighbor. Be so easy to do Sunday in, Sunday out and all this, but not actually love people, not actually extend that love. We can be so focused on loving God, but Jesus says you've got to love people. That love that comes to you that needs to flow out. So change, stretch, it's number one. Number two, inconvenience. I might just get the band up for this third one. The third thing that we can expect is busyness and work and a bit of mess. I'm sorry, I snuck 3 in there. As one, but they all kind of lead into one. We can expect to be a bit busy. Springtime is a busy season. Harvest time is a busy season. And that it's busy because we're at work. And as we work, there's often a bit of mess. So something that I've read in the Bible time and time and time again, growing up in church, but came to life for me just this year, was when Jesus comes and he talks to a Samaritan woman. Again, not something that would have happened And so Jesus sees this woman and goes next to a well and goes and sits down beside her and starts to talk to her, and which is inconvenient, which in the day is really bad. A Jewish person and a Samaritan, a man and a woman, a rabbi and a teacher with this lady, just like, no, that's bad. But Jesus embraces the inconvenient, embraces all of that, and goes and sits down and takes the opportunity. And so the disciples are off and they come back to him after Jesus has this conversation with her. And it says, meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples said to one another, has anyone bought him something to eat? Who got him? Did he get Uber Eats? Like, what happened here? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to do what to accomplish his work. He says, do you not say there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. He was literally going, boys, lift up your eyes. This Samaritan woman right beside me, this is the harvest. This town that we're in right now is the harvest. Don't be worried about my food. Worry about these people. Lift up your eyes and see this field. And we hear that this lady goes into the town and tells everyone this conversation that she had. And so many people came out of this town, heard what Jesus said, and made a decision to follow him. It's incredible. So I get focused on the food, guys. Lift up your eyes and see. It's then echoed again later on in Matthew 9:35-38. It says, Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. I love that. But he said, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. These two stories just came to life for me for this year, because a part of Beyond and linking with youth is we go into schools. And we do breakfasts and we do lunches. We're in 4 schools at the moment, which is amazing. And we've got a great team that go in. And please, if you want to be a part of it, come see us after. Sneaky little plug. But it's incredible. And I just had this moment where we went into one of the schools like 5 minutes away from here. And it was my first time in there. And I was on the barbecue. I was in charge of the eggs. And all my Macca's training was coming in back to me. And I was just like head down. I'm very good at getting task focused. And I was just making the perfect egg. No shells, good size, round, you know, all of that. Didn't want to break the yolk. You know, these kids deserve the best. But my head was down. And then all of a sudden, we were probably doing this for about 30 minutes, cooking up a storm. There was lots of kids. So I was like under the pump. And then I lifted up my head, and all these kids had obviously started coming to school now. And I just saw hundreds of kids, and they're all just walking, running, playing, laughing, singing, dancing, kicking the football, all this stuff. And my eyes were like, it just dropped. And I'm like, this is the harvest. This is the harvest. This is 5 minutes away from our church. That kid, that kid, that kid, that kid, that kid, that they don't come to our church and our youth at the moment. But why aren't they? This is the harvest. And then we've got all these other places, we've got all these other schools, and then the workplace that you go into and the university that you go into and the family that you are a part of, that is all a harvest. That is a harvest field. And that harvest is only going to come in when workers get to work. And I am all for praying. You know, this says pray for workers. And it can be really easy to go, okay, I'm going to pray for workers. That's not me. I'm going to pray for the workers to come in and do the work. First thing we got to understand is that you and I are the workers. Maybe what Jesus is saying is, hey, pray for workers. Pray for yourself to become workers. My prayer, just as much as, yes, God, send other people, is, yeah, use me. Let me be a worker. Let me be a part of people coming to know you, Jesus, and not leave it up to somebody else. We've got to take the time to see the harvest. It's super easy, all right? Illustration, it's super easy. All of us, this is us, just going through life. It's really easy. Hey, Tony, how you going?
I'm good, man.
That's good. That's good. Awesome, awesome. But my perspective is just, the lighting guys are trying to follow me too. My perspective is just so small. Jesus is saying, hey guys, take a moment in your work to lift up your eyes. Now, it could have just been Tony, but now I'm seeing a harvest. We can get so fixated on what we're doing at work. We can get so bogged down in the ritual, in the week-to-week, the day-to-day things. We need to take times and not moments to lift up our eyes, because there is a harvest. There is a harvest all around us. You know, I don't think we need to pray for opportunity anymore. We don't need to pray for, God, give me opportunity. He has given you opportunity in the form of your friends, your uni friends, your work friends, your family. The opportunity is there. What we need to pray for is what the church prayed for 2,000 years ago, boldness. That boldness would fill us and that we would go out. Because as I spoke about this a couple of weeks ago, is that you're the one. God has chosen you. You have good news to share, not somebody else. Don't wait for somebody else. You are the bearer of good news. You have good news to share. You are being sent by God to set at liberty those that are captive, to proclaim the recovery of sight to the blind. It is you and I as the church. The church is not an institution. The church is not a building. It's not a service time. You and I are the church, and we are being sent as workers, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to go collect a harvest. There is a harvest right around each and every one of us. But the thing is, when we start to do a bit of work, is things get messy. And I know, coming into being a parent, that I had to get used to being lots of mess. Because I'm not really like a messy person. But like this morning, changing that nappy, that was messy. Things are going to get messy, okay? And so for you and the people that are going to come in, that we are bringing into this house, the people that are in our community that are going to call this place home and are going to find Jesus here and that are going to call us their family, they're not perfect people. And I know that because none of us are perfect people. There's a bit of a track record for imperfect people coming to Jesus and Him making them new and giving them a future and a hope. So the people that come into this church, they're not going to be perfect. So things are going to get a little bit messy, and we're going to be okay with a bit of mess. We're going to be okay with people not really getting it or understanding it straight away, with them taking a few stumbles. We're going to be okay with mess, because each and every one of us had somebody that, despite our mess, stood beside us. And the story of the Good Samaritan is the perfect story to depict all of us before we meet Jesus. That we've fallen into the wrong crowd, we're vulnerable and in need, we're wounded and we're without a hope or a future. And the people that are going to come into this, the people that are in our community, that are in your workspace right now, they've fallen into the wrong crowd. They're vulnerable in need. They're wounded. They're without a hope, and they're without a future. And they're in need of someone who'll bandage their wounds. They're in need of someone who will help in the process of healing. They need someone that'll set them up on their own two feet. They need someone that'll give them a sense of belonging and safety. They need someone to take care of them. And that person is you. You're the one empowered by God to do this. And so it's all a little bit messy. So three things that we need to expect now that we're expecting this season. And I got to tell you, it's not just a fashionable thing to say, a good one-liner to say, but we are stepping into a new season. And as a church, we must get prepared. Because if we're not prepared, we'll miss it. We won't be ready for it. We won't be able to contain it. I wasn't going to share this story, but at this last term, we're about to have a youth event. I don't even think I've told our youth this, but we're about to have a youth event, which I wasn't there for because I got sick anyway, but the guys did an amazing job. But a couple of weeks before, I had this dream. And sometimes we have weird dreams, you know, because we had pizza the night before or something like that. But I had this dream, and it was definitely a God dream. And what happened is I was standing out there, out in like the under the portico area, and a bus rocked up. It was one of those big Thompson buses, double-decker, and 80 kids were on this bus. And I was like, come on down. This event, we're going to have 80 kids rock up on a bus. I'm down for that. Let's do it. But I prayed about it, and God said, no, that's not what the dream was about. And so I started praying through it. Like, what's this dream about? And He said, if 80 kids were to rock up to your youth this week, would you be prepared? Would you be ready? And I had to be honest, and I said, no. And He said, if half of them made a decision to follow Jesus, could you handle that? And I said, yeah, no. No, we couldn't. If I was to be perfectly honest right now. And then that was it. The answer is very clear. Get prepared. Get ready. If 100 new people were to rock up next week into our church, would we be ready? Would our groups be ready? Would you be ready in your week to have somebody to come in, to walk beside them, to do life with them, to pray with them, to disciple somebody? Would you be ready? Would I be ready? There's a question we've got to ask ourselves. And to get ready, we need to expect that there's going to be change and there's going to be stretch. We've got to expect that things are going to get messy, and we've got to expect that there's going to be inconvenience involved in all of it. But that's what it means to be a disciple of Christ. That's the price we pay as a disciple of Christ, that we embrace all of that and go, yes.
We hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to respond to this message in any way, or would like to talk to one of our pastors, please email us at inquiries@c3bd.com. Or for any more information about our church and the events we have coming up, please go to c3bd.com. Have a great week.